Sermon title today is The Light of the World. The year is 1929. And I'm sure that you all remember 1929 as if it was just yesterday. When they were on the football field in 1929, they called it the gridiron. They didn't wear the fancy helmets that they wear now. They wore just a leather helmet with no face mask, no nothing. These guys were tough, tougher than tough. In fact, you can hear Tool Time Tim go, ooh, 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 ooh. That's how tough they were. It was the 1929 Rose Bowl. The game was between the California Golden Bears, and they were playing against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Georgia Tech had the ball, and they fumbled the ball, and California picked up, one of the players picked up the fumble, and the players started running with the ball. The announcer was going to 65-yard line, the 60-yard line, the 55-yard line, 50, 45, and the crowd was going crazy. Now, let's just stop there just for a moment. The team that was the offense had now become the defense, and they were blocking for him. And the team that was the defense that picked up the ball has now become the offense, and they were trying to tackle him. You see, when he picked up the ball, he became disoriented, and he was running the wrong way. They finally tackled him on the 1 yard line. And yes, they ended up losing that game. The name of the player was Roy Riegels. And even though they lost, Roy had a wonderful second half and was later inducted in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. How many in our world today are so disoriented that they're running the wrong way? Like lemons running to go over the cliff, our world is running towards eternal judgment, as if they can't wait to get there. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says this: there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. That man needs the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Otherwise, we're going to go the wrong way. We're going to become disoriented in our life, and we're going to be running the wrong way because we're listening to our own intuition. We're listening to our own wisdom. We're listening to our own direction. A nation needs to serve the living God, and all the leadership need to serve the living God to be headed in the right direction. If you turn with me to Isaiah 53, we're not going to stay there very long, but if you turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 53, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, this whole scripture of Isaiah 53 is about the prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just amazing when you read that. He says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But when you look at verse 6, what does it say? All we are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This prophecy is about the rejection of Jesus. Yes, the world is rejecting Christ, saying, here is the way, and it's leading to death. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, we won't go there, but you're very familiar with the scripture because it says, wide is the gate, but narrow is the way. But everybody is standing in the wide gate, and they're saying, come on, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. And we said last Sunday, I feel like that gate is just getting wider and wider and wider. And when you go back to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah chapter 5, you're not very far from there. But Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Yes, we live in a world today that they call evil good and they call good evil. And saints, it's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to get worse. And to encourage you in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going the right way. You're not disoriented. You're not confused. You're not running the wrong way. You're running the right way in your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never question our faith. We should never question the direction of our life. And we should most certainly never question whether there is a God or not. He loves you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. And we have the directing power of the Word of God today. In Matthew chapter 5, if you go with me there to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13, because we saw what it was, we've been looking at what it says about the world, and we've been looking at what the world's direction is, but what does the scripture say about you? What does it say about us as Christians today? Well, when you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and you go to verse 13, verse 13 says this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the preservative to a decaying world. We are the light of the world. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I have a lot of scripture today, but we'll go over it fairly rapidly. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you look at verse 5, it says this. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, it says this: you are the sons and daughters of light, the sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. You know the right way because you're following God and you're putting your trust into God. Now, when we back up in chapter 5 and look at verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the rapture of the church when we're going to be caught away. In verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You and I know today, on the prophetic calendar, the next thing to happen is the rapture of the church, and it can happen at any time. All of the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus up to this time has been fulfilled. The next thing on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, and we're not confused by it because we say today, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to leave this place. He says, you are all sons and daughters of light, sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope, salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now, I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians. You're not very far from there. And I want you to go to chapter 2. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, I want you to go over to verse 5. In verse 5, it says, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." And what he's talking about is who's going to be revealed in his own time is the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Is who he's talking about. He says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." Do you feel the lawlessness that's in our world today? And you would say, most certainly we do have a lot of lawlessness. People that are doing this, people that are doing that, groups get together to riot and to do all the different things that they're doing. The lawlessness continues to grow, and there's people in the political powers that support it. So he says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The restrainer is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. In verse 8, "And when the lawless one is revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming," the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all upright, unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I want you to go back to that verse just for a moment in verse 6. "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." The whole power of the Holy Spirit is in you and I today. You know, in the scripture, in Corinthians chapter 7, it says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, or vice versa, the believing husband sanctifies the wife. And people read that scripture, and you mean to tell me just because I'm saved, this jerk over here does not know Jesus Christ, that he's saved also? And the answer is no, that's not what it means. What it means is that household and your children, because one in that family has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will experience the blessings of the Lord. Because if you live in a household today where you know Jesus, then the blessings of the Lord is upon that household. They still have to make that personal commitment themselves to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be saved. Now, what am I getting at? This world has never experienced the lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit. This world that we live in today, the United States of America, is blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you know what where the presence of the Holy Spirit is today? It's in you. Knoxville experiences the blessings of the Lord because of you knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or whatever town that you came from. Now, listen to what the scripture is saying. When this church, you and I, and everybody in the world that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is gone from this earth, there will not be any more restraint. And because there will not be any more restraint, this world will be the ugliest place in the world that you could ever think about living in. He says in the scripture here, in verse 11, "And for this reason, God will send a strong delusion." They still will not turn to Jesus Christ, or many will not. The power of the Holy Spirit that is in you and I is holding out evil. You and I feel like sometimes we're the little Dutch boy that's got the hole, finger hole in the dam, holding back all of the water. But when the church is gone from this earth, there will be no more restraint. You think lawlessness is bad? He says it's already started, but it just started. it's going to get worse. Yes, saints, you and I are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Many people that know us and don't know the Lord, they would not think that we were the light of the world. I understand that. And, they would not think that we are the salt of the earth. But the scripture says that you are, because you're the preservative that is preserving what we have in this nation today. You are children of the day. You do not walk in darkness, but walk in the light, in walking in the truth of the living God and His Word today. John 14:6 says what? It says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's who you know. That's what you are walking in, His truth, His life. Because of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you have the restraining power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within your life. But in your life, are you letting the light of Jesus shine out to others? And I want to share with you today for a little bit how that you can do that and why it's important that you do that. You see, in your life, I want to review the salvation miracle and how the salvation miracle happened in your life, how it happens in everybody's life, and for anybody that's to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, this same thing will happen over and over and over. And that's why it's so important that you share the light of the gospel with them. And when you share the light of the gospel with them, I'm not saying you're sharing your good looks, you're sharing the Word of God. One sows, one waters, God brings the increase. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me read that again, because it's very simple, isn't it? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are saved by your faith. That comes, that happens, and that takes place in your life. How? By hearing the word of God. So what happens leading up to salvation? The word is sown, or it's seeded into a person's life. If the word is already sown in a person's life, then someone else comes along and they water that by sharing their word or their testimony. The Holy Spirit then ignites that word in a person's life. The word is germinated, we could say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing it to life in a person's life. That's the only way you're saved. Somebody has got to invest the word in their life. If you're sharing your light with others, then you're going to be sharing the Word of God with them. Because when you share the Word of God with them, the Holy Spirit ignites that or germinates that in their life. You cannot get saved without it. Don't tell me the Word isn't powerful. You're saved by the Word of God. You're healed by the Word of God. You're delivered by the Word of God. If you receive anything from God in this world today, you will receive it through the power of the Word of God. Otherwise, you will not receive it. So somebody comes along, and they may water or sow that in a person's life, and the Holy Spirit then ignites it in their life. Germinates that word, bringing it to a life into a person's life. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 44, I'll prove that to you. John chapter 6, verse 44. The truth is verified over and over. But in verse 44 of John chapter 6, it says what? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. What is the drawing? The drawing power of the Holy Spirit is when that word is ignited in a person's life to come alive, that they want to respond to it. The Holy Spirit provides the drawing power of that word in a person's life. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. In chapter 3, you go to verse 6. And verse 6 says this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, and it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who? God gave the increase. So then neither he that plants is anything or he that waters, but God who gives the increase. One sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. Now look at Romans. We're going to look at another scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans 10 and verse 14. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says this, or I should say 17, verse 17. Well, I want to back up to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? Heard what? Heard the truth of the scripture. Heard the word of God. He says, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or how shall they preach unless they are sent? You become the preacher, the proclaimer of the word of God in somebody's life. The Holy Spirit ignites that word, and then they have a decision to make, don't they? What do they do with it? Well, for a long time, I ignored it. For a long time, I put it off, but the Holy Spirit kept igniting it in my life so I would make a decision to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 17 says what? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way that you grow in faith, the only way that you come to a faith-believing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the word. It's all connected to the word. Sowers get to sowing, and waterers get to watering, because we need to be about the Father's business. If we're going to save one more for Jesus, then we need to get active. If you turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, Romans 10 and verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Well, how is it in your mouth and how is it in your heart? Is because somebody sowed it there. There's never anything wrong with the word. It's the soil that it's landing in. The word is always perfect. The word is without blemish. Now, a farmer goes out and he's going to plant corn. And he's praying that he's going to get corn that's going to come up. And usually he does. But you never doubt the word of God. When you plant the word of God into somebody's life, the fruit is salvation. And they're only saved because they've heard the word of God. And we're supposed to be the ones telling them about it, to sow that in their life. He goes on to say, in verse 9, then if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that was raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Matter of fact, you will be saved because you heard the word of God and you responded to it positively. The point I'm trying to make to you today in closing, without the word of God, mankind cannot be saved. Now think about that just for a moment. That is so simple, but it is so true. Mankind cannot be saved without the word of God. He's already told us over and over, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Sowers, we need to be sowing, and waterers, we need to be watering. Has the word been ignited in your life today, and have you responded to it? You know, sometimes we offer a cheap salvation. Do you realize that? Just come to Jesus. Just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when you study the scripture tells us we need to be a follower. And some people, oh, I accepted Jesus when I was a kid and never did anything else after that. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I accepted Jesus. Sometimes we take the truth and we water it down to where we want people just to make that decision, and that decision is a wonderful thing. I want to tell you a story that happened in this church 3 weeks ago. There was a young lady after service. I shared this with Men's Fellowship Sunday. There was a young lady that came forward, and she wanted me to pray for her. And you know, I'm an old guy and I don't hear very good. And she was very soft-spoken. And I had a hard time. In fact, I didn't hear a thing. I'm just being honest with you. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. But I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I anointed her with oil and prayed with her. And she hugged me and I hugged her and she left the church. I talked to a family member a week later. And I said, I'm sorry, I could not understand what she was telling me. That person came down that day with a stupid old pastor that couldn't understand and didn't know. She came down that day, that person came down that day and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now think about what happened there. Did I need to know? Didn't need to know nothing, because I didn't know nothing. Between the word and the activation of that word in that person's life through the power of the Holy Spirit, I didn't need to know anything about what I was praying for, because the Holy Spirit had already done it in that person's life. Yes. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you water or sow the word in somebody's life, I expect fruit to grow from that. Now, many of you have shared with people for years, sons and daughters, that you've been praying for and praying for and praying for and praying for. But I'll tell you this, brother and sister, today, that word has not passed away. That word will not return void. That word is laying right where you put it in their life, and the Holy Spirit's going to activate that and bring that to fruition in their life when they respond to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I ask very simply, is there anyone here that has not made that commitment to Jesus? The word has been shared with you today. The Holy Spirit is activated in your life. And if you feel like you need to get up and come forward, I want you to stand up and I want you to come forward right now, because we're going to close. Is there anyone here today? Anyone here today? We're all saved. We know that we are part of the restrainer by the power of the Holy Spirit living in our life. If we pull out on that highway and get T-boned, I know my next stop is heaven. I know I'm going to be walking on the streets of gold. Do you know that today? You can know that today. We're good? What's that show? All in, all done? All right, stand with me today. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just praise you and worship you for the Word of God. And we know that Jesus is the living Word. He's the living Logos, the living Word of God. And we praise you, Father, for what Jesus has done in each and every one of our lives. And I pray that you would be with my brothers and sisters as we leave this place, that you would keep us safe in the next few days that are hot. And Father, that you would all bring us back together as soon as possible. And I pray over my brothers and sisters today, because I love this church, I love these people, and I can't even come close to loving them as much as you do. I pray that you would open the windows of heaven and you'd pour out your blessings upon them. And I ask it all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day.